Well, once again, Shabbat Shalom. Listening to your voices as we were singing our praises to Him this morning, what a delight, what a joy. Thank you, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, for giving us this spirit of joy that we could raise our voices to you. What a blessing. Well, for the final week of our vacation, Chantal and I spent time in a little town in central Quebec called Nicolet. We were visiting Chantal's mother and her sisters. This was a welcome time of rest and relaxation. Sleeping in late, what a blessing. Eating when we chose to eat, and all those wonderful things associated with a restful vacation. However, one thing struck me as being somewhat prophetic. Lydia, Chantal's mother, has a small parrot, which she has named Piccolo. Piccolo was 14 years old, and he did not seem to age. He sat quietly in his cage, singing occasionally and sleeping often. This was the only telltale sign of his age. But every morning, Lydia took Piccolo out onto the balcony of her apartment and opened the door of his cage. The multicolored bird came to the opening and sat there for hours. He didn't venture across the threshold and fly into the air, which would have been an expression of his freedom. He just sat there and closed his eyes. I wonder if he was dreaming about flying free, or if he was giving thanks for his illusion of freedom. Piccolo to me is a metaphor for many of the world of how secure they appear to be in their lives, standing at the door of salvation, but never quite stepping forward and accepting our gracious Abba's invitation for a secure future for eternity. I have heard it said, the greatest freedom is the freedom to choose. Adonai Elohim has given us this freedom, and many will stand at the threshold and never take that all-important step towards the ultimate freedom. However, there are many, millions in fact, who lack the feeling of certainty in making that choice and need someone like you and me to encourage and guide them with assurance of making the most important step toward freedom they will ever take. I also have a question about those of us in this room today and listening to this message over the internet. How many of us, although we have accepted Abba's invitation of grace and promise of salvation, have still not replaced our desires and our goals with his? I believe the situation with little Piccolo has much to say to us, since in order to focus on his commission to us to share the gospel with as many people as possible, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, we need to follow his plans, his desires, his agenda, and not ours. I believe even the most devout of us does succumb to the temptation of our old sinful natures, at least once in a while, and draw away from him. This is certainly true of our father Moshe. Once again, we are given a closer look into the complex personality of our father, Avinu Moshe. In this week's parashah, this humble and Adonai-trusting leader of the Israelites in their 40 years circuitous trek through the wilderness, reviewed the events thus far of their journey, and says something quite unusual for this humble man. As we read last Shabbat in Deuteronomy 1, "Also because of you, Adonai was angry with me and said, 'You too will not go in there,'" referring to Canaan. This sentiment is repeated in Deuteronomy 3, as we read this morning. "But Adonai was angry with me on account of you, and he didn't listen to me." Was it really the fault of the Israelites that Moshe struck the rock to receive water, rather than merely speaking to the rock? Abba Father, we all need your guidance as we struggle with accepting personal responsibility for our behaviors. But we also need guidance in accepting corporate responsibility for the behaviors of our community. Abba, please help us to learn through your message for us today. In your beloved name, I pray. Oh, and just to complete the short message about Piccolo, we received word last night that Lydia's beloved companion of 14 years has died. In my research for this week's message, I came across the following guiding principle from an American First Nation. "The worst social characterization we can offer of a thoughtless, deviant man is the charge that he acts as if he has no family." This phrase tells us that being embedded in relationships, in a network of legitimate and recognized kinsmen, is a powerful reinforcement for moral action. "A man with no family," this First Nation saying relates to us, "is a man with no concern for the shame or for the honor his behavior might bring upon those he loves." What was Moshe doing when he blamed the people he was leading for the punishment meted out to him by Adonai Elohim? In this situation, did he act as if he had no family? Did he not assume personal responsibility and accountability for his own frustration and the resultant disobedience of Jehovah's word? These are often difficult questions for us to answer, especially when they are directed to our own lack of personal responsibility and accountability, not only for our own actions, thoughts, and their consequences, but also for the actions of others within our fellowship. Proverbs 28 shares with us, "He who conceals his sins will not succeed. He who confesses and abandons them will gain mercy." Have you ever been in a situation where you have committed a small error or indiscretion and have kept it to yourself for fear of being embarrassed or, worse still, ridiculed? Well, that is as much a rhetorical question as I could create. To say this does not happen to each one of us is to prove the validity of Scripture. No matter how long we try to keep our sins concealed from others, they will eventually come forth, either from someone else or from our own behaviors. But do we have the tendency to have difficulty in assuming personal and corporate responsibility and accountability for our behaviors, some of which are sinful? Unfortunately, the answer to that question is to be found in our relationship with our Holy Father, the world around us, and with the world of sin. As believers, we are to be both in and separate from the world. This is not an easy place to be, brothers and sisters. And sometimes we find ourselves slipping into more of the world than we would wish. Sometimes we are trapped into believing love is shown through things or satisfying someone else's desires as well as, or maybe instead of, our own. Often we forget there is only one who ought to be the focus of our love and whose desires we should take on as our own. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, our Lord God Almighty. Galatians 6 shares with us, for each will have to bear his own load. However, it is important to place this imperative into context. Do Shaul's words carry a different meaning when we read, let each one examine his own work, then he can take pride in himself and not compare himself with someone else? We human beings do have a tendency to compare ourselves with others, in effect, criticizing the speck of someone's eye before we examine the log within our own, as someone important has once said. We do have a tendency to blame others for our mistakes or point fingers at others who have erred, as if that will absolve us of our indiscretions and make us pure and righteous. There are two issues here for us to contemplate. It is almost as if by gossiping about the faults of others, we will be perceived as more righteous, more diligent, more holier than others. Or perhaps by handing off the responsibilities of our own behaviors onto others, we may escape the consequences due to us. However, there is a deeper meaning to verse 5. When we stand before Adonai Yeshua on the day of judgment, we will be faced with the load of personal responsibility we carry for having not accepted the consequences of our own action. When those actions occurred, repenting and asking for forgiveness from the person or persons we wronged. Viewed in this light, I personally shudder. For I know that throughout my life as a sinner, I wronged many an innocent person and have not asked for their forgiveness. I have repented to our Almighty Jehovah. However, in many cases, I have not yet faced the consequences of those actions. Rav Shaul makes this very clear in 2 Corinthians 5 when he claims, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah so that each one may be paid back according to what he has done while in the body, whether good or evil. Reading this message, I gain the reassurance of knowing I have been forgiven for my past sins before I came to the truth, and will be responsible for every action, word, or thought I have committed as a believer, whether good or evil. Beloved, where are you right now in your state of accepting personal responsibility for the actions, words, and thoughts you have committed, good and evil? Are there actions you have committed which have resulted in someone being aided or made to feel worthy and accepted? Have you thanked Abba for the opportunity to serve him and have given him the glory for the results of your actions? Are there behaviors for which you feel shame or guilt? Have you asked Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God, to examine your heart and clearly bring to your consciousness what you have done, which saddens our Messiah and which brings a smile to his face? Proverb 28 brings us hope still. The one who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses them and forsakes them will find mercy. Concealed within this verse is what is known as a metonym. In this case, the metonym is cause for the effect. If people do not confess their sins, they will not prosper. What an understanding is this? Indeed, because they have not confessed their sins, they will be undone and ruined. Their sins will be uncovered, perhaps not in our time, but certainly in Jehovah's. On the other hand, persons who do confess their transgressions will be shown mercy. Adonai Elohim will cover their sins, and they will be forgiven and forgotten. Within verse 13 is a theological statement of forgiveness coming to us from the very mouth of Jehovah. Confession of sin, accepting personal responsibility for one's actions, repenting, showing remorse for harming others or oneself, and turning around to righteous behavior results in mercy being shown in abundance. As to the acceptance of personal responsibility versus blaming others for our actions, Ezekiel provides some important direction. In chapter 18, the prophet claims, "Yet you say, why should the son not suffer for his father's iniquity? When the son does what is just and right and observes all my statutes and carries them out, he will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. A son will not suffer from his father's iniquity, and a father will not suffer for his son's iniquity. The righteous person will be judged according to his righteousness, and the wicked person according to his wickedness." Could this statement be any clearer? The one who commits the behavior, the action, the word or thought, good or evil, will be made to accept the consequences for it. The original Hebrew of this passage carries with it an even greater message. The righteousness of the righteous one will be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked one will be upon him. This is precisely what Rav Shaul meant in Galatians 6:5 when he wrote, "Each will have to bear his own load." Let me be perfectly clear, beloved. As believers, each one of us will be held personally accountable for what we do, good or evil. If we have given Adonai Elohim Tzivaot the glory for the successes he has allowed us to achieve, then we will receive rewards in his life eternal. And by the same token, if we accept the glory for what we have done well and not given that glory to Adonai, we have sinned. And if, on the other hand, we have not accepted personal responsibility and accepted accountability for our evil thoughts and deeds, then there will be consequences to pay, which are separate from the punishments that have been taken away from us. I do not wish to belabor this point, but it is vital we know what will happen, for it will surely happen. But there is another component to our assuming personal responsibility, and that is our assumption of corporate responsibility. The whole issue of community is focused on the premise of the biblical imperative. For example, in Isaiah 1 we read, "Stop doing evil, learn to do good, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, defend orphans, plead for the widow. And in Zechariah 7, we find, let everyone show mercy and compassion to his brother. Don't oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, or poor people. Don't plot evil against one another. The apostolic scriptures also speak to our command to take responsibility for our community, as we read in Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you made me your guest. I needed clothes, and you provided them. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Adonai Yeshua himself has commanded us to look after those within our community who are in difficulty. Those of Kehillah who brought food goods to the food bank. Those of you this month who contributed to both the Crisis Pregnancy Center and Out of Zion Ministries as part of your tithes. Those of you who have provided additional food for Oneg. Those who are spiritually feeding the lambs. And those of you who have contributed to the Benevolent Fund are following the command of Adonai Elohim and Adonai Yeshua to be socially responsible in caring for those within our community. And just as Moshe was accountable and responsible for the actions of his people, so the leaders of our nations, our provinces, our cities, and our communities are responsible and accountable for the behaviors of their people. This is what makes leadership of Kehillah Havarim Moshiach onerous and vulnerable. I, as the spiritual leader of our fellowship, am responsible and accountable for whatever happens either inside these four walls or outside whenever Kehillah Havarim Moshiach is involved. This is the natural order of Adonai's universe. When the Israelites questioned Elohim's commands or rebelled against Moshe's leadership, he was accountable and assumed the consequences, as did those who questioned and rebelled. Why am I sharing this with you? This is not to reveal any lingering regret or advance a cry of self-pity, but to help all of us understand we are not islands. We are not isolated one from the other. We are all part of one body with Adonai Yeshua at the head. Each one of us has the responsibility for each other and for the fellowship. And your leaders have an added layer of responsibility. As they have accepted Adonai's anointing and have assumed the responsibility and accountability not only for decision-making, but also for assisting all of us in our spiritual growth. Rav Shaul shares with us in Acts 20, watch out for yourselves and for all the flock in which Ruach HaKadosh has placed you as leaders to shepherd God's messianic community, which he has won for himself at the cost of his own son's blood. Leadership in any organization is not to be taken lightly. Shortly into the fall, Kehillah Havarim Moshiach will be looking for new fellowship leaders. You ought to be looking for people such as those who currently lead, who have accepted this position with great trepidation, realizing how onerous it is and how demanding of godly ethical behavior is our Abba of his leaders. I urge you, dear ones, as members of our fellowship, and especially if you are being encouraged by God's Holy Spirit to seek a leadership position within Kehillah, to examine your minds and your hearts, to uncover any fault which lies there, either through omission or through commission. To repent of these actions and ask Jehovah to forgive you. Then I urge you to go to your neighbor whom you have wronged and beg for her or his forgiveness, whether or not they know what you have done. Frankly, this is immaterial and irrelevant, for the one who really counts does know, and he is waiting for us to allow him to clean our hearts and make them as white as snow. Then, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit of God, and only then should you indicate your willingness to serve in a leadership role in Kehillah Havarim Moshiach. Abba Father, I pray that today all of us have heard your message. And I pray that you will lead us and guide us through your Holy Spirit to put into action what you have put into our hearts. May you help us understand clearly that we are all part of the same body, that we all have a role to play in that body, and that not only do we have a personal responsibility and a personal relationship with you, we also have corporate responsibility and a corporate relationship. And so I ask for your help, I ask for your leading, and I ask for your guiding. In the beloved name of our Messiah, Yeshua, Amen.